Hi, this is Robin Heppel from funeralfutures.com, and I'm with Mike Kubasek from Kubasek.com. Mike, are you there?
I'm right here. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks, Mike.
Good.
Now, we've had, we've had a busy week here with, we had your, not 10, but 12 biggest mistakes funeral directors make while on the phone, and with well over 250 registrants now for that call, and we received just a ton of questions and frustrations that funeral professionals are having when dealing with phone shoppers and price inquiries over the phone. And, you know, just for time's sake, we've had to whittle down and kind of piece some of these questions together and have a little bit of a flow. But I think we're going to cover the gist of most of them and a couple of the frustrations as well. So you ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, and these are in no particular order, just kind of how they came in.
Okay.
What do you do when you have a competitor that offers a lower price and the family wants you to match it?
Well, my first question is, why is it that the family wants you to match it? There seems to be some kind of a connection there. Otherwise, they wouldn't say, hey, we would really like you to match it. I mean, if I was to call Nordstrom's department store and say the pair of Dockers pants that I can get at Target are $29.95 and the Dockers there at your store are $39.95, will you match the price? Well, I doubt that they're going to match the price. But why am I calling Nordstrom? There's some type of connection. And I believe that you need to communicate with people not only about the value, but about the consequences, maybe, of them not going with you. Sometimes the fear of loss is a much stronger buying motive than the potential to save. So, you know, sometimes are we communicating what the consequence might be to families? Say, you know, it may be a lower price, and I deeply appreciate you calling me back and urging me to match that price, but you're calling me back for a reason. Would you mind telling me why you are calling me back? So I would find out. This may cause them to verbalize a hot button. They may say, well, I'm calling you back because you served us before. And now you can inquire about, well, you're calling me back. The experience that you had with me before must have been a pretty good experience. Otherwise, I don't think you would be calling me back. So you are already familiar with the way we do things and the way that we serve people. How familiar are you with this other firm, other than making a phone call to them? How familiar are you with this other firm in relation to the kind of service that we provide? So I wonder why people are calling back, and I always endeavor to ask them just that. What is prompting you? Share with me. What is prompting you to call me back? And then don't be hesitant about conveying the consequences for them not using your firm. So, you know, again, through all of these questions that we're going to be going through, you know, there really is no pat answer to any one of them. I mean, I or no one else is really going to be able to come up with a panacea. You know, there isn't a formula. There isn't always, you know, three or five magic words because you're dealing with people's emotions so many times, okay?
Yeah.
So,
and
I
think you really keyed there. There's an underlying reason. There's some reason. If they were satisfied with the other funeral home at the lower price, they wouldn't have phoned you back. So they've obviously phoned you back for a reason, and that's where the hidden value is. Because
And this is sometimes a perfect time. I had a little magic phrase that I used to use that really paid big dividends. And with sincerity, I would say, I really want to be your family funeral director. I mean, in an instance like this, this could be a critical thing to say. And a lot of times, it's maybe that fear, like I said, the fear of loss can be a stronger buying motive than, you know, the ability to save a few bucks.
For sure.
Especially if they know you. Now, what's your other choice? You certainly can match price. I mean, have I in my career done that? Why, of course I have. You know, we are all flexible. Was it commonplace? No, it was not commonplace whatsoever.
And I think, you know, and we've talked about this back and forth before. And if you're going to match price, make sure that if you're having to lower your services to your competitor's level or to the price, you don't want to penalize your false-paying customers that don't question your price. So still obviously provide respect and dignity, but maybe take off a couple of the bells and whistles that a family receives when they pay your full price. And if you're going to price match, maybe just exclude a couple of those bells and whistles to bring the service level to something more comparable.
Well, you're exactly right, but I do want to underscore something that is important in what you say, and that is, you know, the things that we might subtract should be services, not care. By that I am saying, we provide security, we provide respectful care, we provide professional treatment, whether it's refrigeration or whatever the case might be. I mean, those are basic things that we can never sacrifice, and we don't sacrifice our principles of honesty and integrity and comfort. But you might not make the transfer from the hospital until the next day instead of getting up at 2:00 in the morning, so on and so forth. But as far as caring for the deceased person, we have to show that same degree of respect. And you might not include a limousine or whatever the case might be, but those are service items that, you can not offer.
True. Now let's move on to the next one, Mike. What do you do when a family just gives you general information but they want specific answers?
Well, I really don't understand that question, to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure out what is the gist of this question. We always, under all circumstances, and I don't know if this is going to answer this person's question or not, but we should deal with specifics as much as possible, and we always need to clarify what it is the customer is saying or has in mind. So if they are giving you a general statement, how much does a funeral cost? Well, I may as well be calling an auto dealer and saying, how much does an automobile cost? I mean, are you after a van? Are you after an SUV? Are you after a big size sedan? Do you want the sporty version? I mean, there's so many variables. How many people are going to be driving in this car? Is your main focus gas mileage or is it comfort? Or, are you trying to carry as many people as you can? Maybe you need a van. Maybe you don't need an automobile or a passenger vehicle. So I would instruct all people on the telephone to always ask for clarification. Mrs. Jones, I don't understand what it is you are asking me about. Can you be a little more clear? Or if I understand what you're saying, you want to know what is the general range of how much a funeral costs? Well, funeral services range in price from, you know, whatever your direct burial might be to your full service. Well, then how much are caskets on top of that? Well, then you give your range of caskets. So until you can be certain of what it is the customer is asking you, it's, I don't want to say it's foolish to give an answer, but how can you give a definite or a specific answer if you yourself do not understand what they specifically are asking for?
And you know what, Mike, it all comes down, and you just demonstrated that, it all comes down to asking more questions and
yes,
questioning them. But when they've, you know, they've opened the door for you then to ask more questions.
Yeah, you know, communication skills is the true foundation of dealing effectively with price shoppers. And communication skills are also the foundation of doing well, even in a face-to-face arrangement conference scenario. And that's why I'm saying there are, you know, there isn't any set formula for doing this because no two people are exactly alike. And it is the skill of the professional. We, the funeral director, it is our responsibility to be able to communicate effectively. It's not, I'm going to be honest with you, it is not the responsibility of the consumer to communicate effectively because they, you know, this is not their realm. We cannot expect any consumer to know as much about our business as we do. But as a consumer, I would expect the professional that I am doing business with to be skilled enough to help me determine what it is I truly want and to uncover all of the consequences and to uncover all of the risks and to uncover all of the benefits for that which I am seeking. That's our responsibility. So we need to study more about improving our skills of communication than maybe anything else. And you are right. It is all about being skilled in asking powerful questions. Not ordinary questions, not boring questions. Powerful questions that really cause the consumer to open up, to provide much more than a yes or no answer to you, and to feel comfortable in talking with you.
Absolutely. And I think, Mike, that, you know, that probably answers almost every question on here. Just bringing up our communication level, and you've always told me, you know, that's a two-way street. You have to, you know, it's not just us going through our spiel or saying our script. We need to know what's going on in their mind, and we can't assume that at all.
You know, Rob, it's no different than, you know, in my role in working with a lot of independent firms across the country. And I just had a firm that called me Friday of last week, Friday evening, and the gentleman was out having dinner with his wife. They both own the funeral home together, and they said, you know, we're sitting here, we're having a drink, we're enjoying our dinner, and we've been debating about whether or not to call you, and we want to hire you. And I said, well, that's all well and good. What is it that you want me to do? And they said, well, Mike, you know, we're just not operating our funeral home as well as we think it could be operated. We believe that there's a lot of opportunity here in our marketplace that we're not reaching. And as you have said many times, as you have in writing, we'd love to have you take us from good to great. Well, you know, I told him, I said, we're going to need a couple hours to talk on the telephone. He says, really? I said, well, yeah, I have to really determine what it is you want me to do. I mean, well, Mike, I want to hire you. I want you to help us go from good to great. Well, that's not specific enough. And it, when I'm not, when things are too fuzzy, how can I be effective? Now, I don't know if he is having difficulty with cremation. I don't know if he's having difficulty with increased competition in town. I don't know if he's having difficulty with his pricing structure. I don't know if he's having difficulty with personnel. I don't know what's going on in his business other than, fine, the gentleman wants to hire me. So, you know, someone calls and says, well, how much is a cremation or how much is a funeral? That's kind of like, you know, I'd like you to come in and take our firm from good to great. Help us take our firm from good to great. We have to be specific. And it's going to be, you know, I'm going to be challenging this person with some questions so that we can determine specifically what his greatest areas are, not only of opportunity, but maybe the barriers that he's dealing with or the stumbling blocks that he's tripping over. So before we can really get into specifics, we have to do a lot of homework, and that's communication skills.
Absolutely. Mike, let's, well, the next three actually kind of run into each other, but we'll do the next one first, and then we'll bring the other two in. And this is kind of on the other side, you know, can you give out too much information?
Well, I'm going to tell everyone a cute story. Many years ago, I was with a family in the selection room, and this was a burial family. And this family was looking at the finer merchandise. I mean, they were making a decision between mahogany and copper, and it's a very nice decision. And of course, a lot of funeral directors say, well, what should you do when you have a family that is making that decision? And from the school that I've just gone through with them, I say do nothing and say nothing, because I began offering too much information. And when I began offering more information about mahogany caskets, I made a very critical mistake. Here I was in California. Now, people in California have been for many decades quite concerned about the environment and the ecosystems and everything else. And I gave out wrong information because I was not adequately prepared, nor did I really understand my consumer as well as I needed to at that time. And I said, the mahogany, it comes from the rainforests. Now, as soon as I said rainforest, they said, we would never purchase a piece of wood that was once a part of any rainforest in the world. Well, fortunately, they selected a copper casket. But you see what I'm saying. You sometimes can give out too much information. Should you hide anything that is really critical or legally required to share? Definitely not. But can you be too verbose? Can you maybe make something up that is maybe not entirely 100% factual? Yes, you can. Can you give out wrong information as I did? And I came to find out when I called the manufacturer, I said, where does the mahogany that is used in the manufacture of your caskets, where is it grown? Where is it milled? Where do you get it from? And it is not from any rainforest. So you see, here I thought I was being the big shot, or whatever the case might be. So can you give out too much information? Certainly you can. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can say things, like I said, that are not entirely factual and accurate. And as professionals, we must be entirely factual and accurate.
Absolutely. When, you know, Mike, it kind of reminds me, like, as long as you're giving out, and it goes to the last question, as long as you're giving out information that they want, you can continually give out long information. And an example is an infomercial that's on TV. It's going on for 30 minutes. And some people will see that, and they'll see Jessica Simpson there, and they'll say, oh, well, I don't need to hear about her acne, and they'll just flip away. But for the people who are interested and want to know as much as possible, they'll watch that entire 30-minute infomercial. So that's just the same. If we're answering the questions that they have, they'll read a long sales letter. They'll listen to long explanations as long as it's relevant. So that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
Yep. No, I said yes. You're right.
So now with these with the next two, I'll just read them both together.
Okay.
What do you do when they only want price and nothing else? And then how do you keep them on the phone long enough to hear your explanation? Because I think, you know, one's one side of the question, and
well, let me jump to how do you keep them on the phone long enough to hear your explanation. I would imagine that the only reason you would be interested in keeping them on the phone long enough to hear your explanation is because they have asked you a question. So if they have asked you a question, I don't know why they would say, I'm asking you a question, but I don't have time to get your answer, so goodbye. I mean, I don't understand that question too much. You know, I never endeavor to interrogate people, and I never endeavor to bore people. I keep them on the phone long enough to hear my explanation by asking them powerful questions that other firms have not asked them, or questions that they have not given any thought to. I mean, when I've got someone on the phone who says, I'm calling you because all I want is a price for cremation and we're only going to be cremating the body, and I respond by saying, very good, I'm gathering my papers here so that I can give you all the information that you would like. While I'm doing this, tell me, how familiar are you with the cremation planning process? Now, they may say, it's none of your business, I just want price, in which case I realize that I am with a consumer where I probably have zero chance of making any type of connection. So I may be relegated to merely doing nothing more than giving my price and then offering an explanation. A lot of times when someone is in a hurry, I will say, now do you have pencil and paper in front of you? Yes, I do. I'm ready to write down your price. Fine. Here's what I want you to write down. Our price includes the following items. So I'm now going through various items, and I will save the low ball price for the end. Not the low ball price, my price for the end.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I won't say, well, my price is $1,295 and what that includes. Never mind, we're not interested in what it includes. We'll call you back. Well, if you're dealing with a consumer like that and you want that kind of business and you're really after that kind of business, then my suggestion to you is that you're going to have to offer such a low price that they would not even consider going anywhere else.
Now, and Mike, when someone's in that situation where they've asked for your price, and now you have a bit of a, you know, you've asked them to get their pen and paper ready, what do you say before you get to the price?
Well, before I get to the price, I'd like to give them a highlighting of the services that are being provided for this amount of money. And at the very end of that, I would offer the couple ways that we distinguish ourselves from all of the others. For instance, if they wanted cremation, I would say that we also provide unique services that no one else provides that we know are important to people like you who call us for this information, and that includes our procession to the crematory for the family and the friends, and one very unique thing that we do about our cremations is we provide you with our 100% cremation service guarantee. What this means to you is that in writing, you will receive our guarantee, in which we guarantee you will receive your father's cremated remains, and only his cremated remains. And there is no one else in the area that provides such a guarantee. Now, my cost for our basic service is X number of dollars.
And you know what you've...
Often they go back and say, can we talk about that service guarantee?
What you've done is you've planted a seed and you've put fear in they're going to then, you know, now there's risk, not with you, but there's risk in them dealing with any other firm, and that's a choice that they can make.
That's correct. Oh, yes.
But yes.
There's a consequence. There are many ways of stating consequences. That's one of them. And this is what I'm saying. These are things that funeral directors need to learn. You just don't have it in you. You have to learn how to do this. And I used to sit at my office with a tape recorder and with a videotape machine. That's way back when a video camera was as big as a TV, for Pete's sake. And I would go over this, and I would study each word. Each word that I was using was critical. And that's how I honed my skills, and then I was able to teach my staff to be pretty doggone good at doing this. It's no secret, I've made this well known, that we were far more expensive than anyone else in town. And, of course, we would say, here's our services, and here's what we include, and here's how we do things, and our price for that is X number of dollars. And families would say, well, my gosh, that's $900 more than anywhere else. And I'd say, absolutely. But before I would like you to hang up, I would like to really explain to you that $900 difference. And most people would give me that opportunity to explain to them. And then I would say, well, you know, tell me, you said that you wanted your father cremated. Would you tell me more about that? Well, yeah, and I would listen. And I may have already asked them, how familiar are you with the cremation process? And they weren't. I would say, I'd like to explain cremation to you. Now, that means that you have to really learn and understand what cremation is, and then you have to put that explanation into consumer-friendly, accurate, professional terminology so that they can understand it. Believe me, in Burbank, California, my staff at Valley Funeral Home could explain cremation better than any other funeral home in the United States in such a way that captivated the consumer, didn't turn them off. And we used to study and talk about it, and we rehearsed it, and they had to learn it. They had to know about cremation, its origins, because that can all be important to one caller, just like that one person I talked to about the mahogany casket in the rainforest. That was important to them one time, and it cost me a wonderful casket, even though they got another wonderful casket. But I would say before, now that I have taken the time with you, now that I've spent 25, 30 minutes with you on the telephone, and I've explained to you why we are $900 higher, I would like to ask you to do one thing for yourself. What is that? I would like you to call all those other funeral homes back and ask them why they are so cheap. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, would people actually do that, or they'd say, no, Mike, we're, you know, we want you to look after Mom?
Most of the time they would say, Mike, we'd like you to look after Mom. But I would like every funeral home who might be listening to this to answer my question. Tell me, why are you not $300 more expensive? You know what, Mr. Jones? You're $300 less than any other funeral home in our community. Tell me why. I mean, what is he going to say? How would you go about answering that? Well, we care less. We don't have as nice a facility. We won't pick up your father until tomorrow afternoon when it's convenient for us. We don't have refrigeration. We don't have the overhead of operating our own crematory. We provide a lower level of professional care than all the others. I mean, how the heck is he going to answer it?
Mm-hmm.
See, turn the coin around. Be proud that you are charging a fair price, and now your competitor, pardon me, your competitor down the street, oh, if he's $50 less than you, that's no difference. But he's significantly less than you are, $300, $400, $500, $1,000 less than you are, because he's the lowball king, or wants to be. Put that consequence in the mind of the caller. I've given you my prices. I've told you about the history of my firm. I've tried to help you, and I can promise you that you will receive the absolute finest of service, and that each cremation is done individually, that we monitor each cremation. Even though we don't own our own crematory, we monitor each cremation. I promise you that I will take care of your father as if he was a member of my own family. I truly want to be your family funeral director. I mean, you've gone through that whole thing. I would like you to do one thing before you make a decision for yourself. Well, what is that? Call the other funeral home back and ask them why they are so much less in cost. Challenge them. And if they do, they'll probably be very surprised. What are they going to say? Well, because we serve more people than anyone else? No, you've already told them that that's not the case.
And plus, too, it's, you know, you're not doing this immediately after explaining your prices. You're doing this after you've been on the phone with them for 10 or 15 minutes or longer.
Absolutely. You've struck some kind of a relationship. I mean, maybe you have their first name, maybe you don't. But you're talking freely and they're talking freely. When someone calls and wants price information, as I told you, my staff, the policy at our funeral home was before they gave out any price, they had to ask the caller three questions. Well, while I'm gathering that information for you, tell me, how familiar are you with cremation? Tell me, how did you come to call our funeral home? Just got the phone book out and I'm going through it. Or I went down to the Chamber of Commerce and they highly recommended you. Well, you see, it gives you a different parameter, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So don't assume to know. Don't guess. Be specific so that you can give specific help and information and specific price. And it's a skill of communication.
Now, Mike, I don't know if you realize this, but you answered the next question here. How do you convince the shopper that your funeral home is the one that they want to select?
Well, the word convince does not fit in there.
No, but that's...
How do you educate the shopper
mm-hmm.
to the benefits of making your funeral home their family funeral home? convince is, we don't twist arms here.
No, you've educated them.
We've got to educate. That's why I say, enough with this being a funeral director stuff. Let's concentrate. You know, that if you're 40 years old and you've been doing this for 20 years, how about the next? And you've been a wonderful funeral director for 20 years, because we're dealing with a changing consumer. How about concentrating on being now, instead of a funeral director, being a funeral educator? Try that for the next 20 years. And, of course, what that means is that I have to go back and start studying and reading. You know, I've got to read the history of American funeral directing, and I've got to do much more than just read the Director magazine, and I have to do much more than thumb through American Funeral Director, and I have to do much more than attend two seminars a year that my state is putting on for continuing education. I'm going to have to make quite an investment in my career. You bet you are. You know, I tell the story, and maybe some of you have even heard this story, and I want to share it with you because I think it is apropos to our session today. It's not an original story of mine by any means, because like I said, I've heard it several times, but it has to do with Pablo Picasso, the famous painter. He was eating one day at a fancy restaurant in New York City where he used to hang out, and a fan of his also walked into the restaurant and was amazed to see Pablo sitting right there having dinner next to him. And the fan told Pablo how much she admired his work and how great of an artist he was, and finally said to him, "Mr. Picasso, if you would be kind enough, would you draw me a sketch of myself?" And Pablo looked at her and grabbed a piece of paper out of his satchel, and with a pen and pencil, he promptly sketched the person's sketch. And as the woman reached for the sketch, Pablo Picasso said, "Madame, that will be $10,000. She was shocked. She said, "But Pablo, that only took you 5 minutes. And Senor Picasso looked at her and said, "No, madame, you're very wrong. It took me 50 years to do this." So Pablo was not afraid to price his product to its value. He priced his product to its investment value, not to the cost of the paper plus the ink plus an hourly wage, okay? He knew that a painting with the brand name of Picasso was worth more than somebody who put the name McGillicuddy in the bottom right-hand corner, okay? But assert, and a part of this is assert your wisdom. And to assert your wisdom, you have to know your product. And like I said, for the next 20 years, if we could devote ourselves to being funeral educators, in addition to being funeral directors, I think we'll be dealing with this challenging consumer far more effectively. What's your next question?
Okay, great. How do you express price of service? How do you express price of service is not the only issue to shop? So kind of how I read this is that, so maybe they're shopping around, but what seeds to plant or what other things? And is that how you take it?
Sure. Well, yeah, I could take this a couple ways. You know, one of the ways I might approach it is to say, well, I'm glad to help you all that I can, and in fact, I'd be very pleased to share every bit of information with you that you're going to need. What are the major concerns, or what are one or two major concerns that you have on your mind right now? It might be things other than price. You know, you may be amazed to find out. I've had people tell me, You know, I just don't know how to go about getting my aunt, my uncle, my brothers, and my sisters who live in four parts of the country all here together at one time. Or I don't know how to get Dad. You know, how do you get Dad from L.A. where he died? He wants to be buried in Tampa, Florida. I mean, see, you never know what may be of primary concern, and that's why I'm saying, if we communicate skillfully and have powerful questions and say something very simple as, I'm so glad to answer everything for you and help you all that I can because I know this is a difficult time for you, what is, you know, one or two major concerns that you are struggling with or dealing with at this time? Let's find out what they want. And I would also try to determine how familiar they are with facilities. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had Neptune Society that was headquartered in Burbank. Neptune Society was nothing but a storefront. Well, wait a minute. I had a, you know, 1.5 to 2.0 million dollar building with parking and beautiful foyer and front doors, and, you know, they're comparing me to a circus tent? And I would tell people, have you driven by to compare the facilities? Well, gee, no, I haven't. Aren't all funeral homes the same? Aren't you all the same? No, we're not the same. You know, let me talk to you about education. Yes, I'm a licensed funeral director. I'm a licensed embalmer. I've had to go through this particular course of training, and I was very fortunate in the fact that I learned the business also from my mother and father, that my mother and father made sure that I was not only a consummate professional, but that I knew how to sweep the parking lot and clean toilets. I've told that to people. I want them to know that they're dealing with someone different. They're not dealing with some other person who's an 8-to-5 kind of person at Neptune Society or even at my competitor. Drive by the facilities. In fact, this is one of the services that we offer, Mrs. Jones. I am very glad to send a car and driver to your home to pick you up and to bring you here, and without any obligation, give you a tour of our facility and introduce my staff to you. You make that determination. There is far more than just price that I believe you need to consider. The people that you are going to be entrusting your beloved husband to, I want you to know that it's far greater than a matter of the cheapest price, because I will guarantee you that I will give the same care to your husband that I would give to my own father or grandfather, and so will every one of my staff members. Now I've got to tell you that with some people, that doesn't mean anything. And you want to know what, Rob? Then they maybe shouldn't call me.
Yep. You know, I think we're so afraid.
If we're not on the same page, philosophy-wise, maybe they should go somewhere else.
Yeah, because they don't deserve that, right? If they don't see the...
Well, it's not that they don't deserve it. They do deserve it. But if they don't want it and it's not important to them, if they don't want to have Picasso in the right-hand corner of their picture, then maybe they should go look for McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because okay. not every cremation is the same. Not every burial is the same. Not every family is the same. And not every funeral home is the same. We have to communicate those differences without talking badly about our competitor. We have to say, I don't know about my you know, one of the other things... Other ways that was very influential in me getting a lot of shopper calls is because I was successful in engaging them on the telephone for 15, 20 minutes. And I would say, now, Mrs. Jones, how many other funeral homes have you called prior to calling me? And, of course, I always knew that they you know, that I was never first because it was Valley Funeral Home, the name of my firm. I was always at the bottom of the list. Oh, you're the fourth. Well, answer me one other question, if you would. Did all of those other funeral homes spend the same amount of time with you on the telephone as I am doing? No, they just gave me a price. Well, Mrs. Jones, imagine what the difference in the service is going to be once you hire me to be your family funeral director. If I'm taking this time with you on the telephone with no obligation whatsoever, those things make an impact with a lot of people. Everyone?
And,
no.
Yeah. And we have to remember that before they pick up the phone, they don't know the differences. We have to educate them. But as they start, as they open the yellow pages, to them, you know, and you've said many times, Mike, you know, they don't know what they don't know. So until they know the differences, they don't know there's any difference.
Well, of course. And why not make it a point of saying, I'm glad to send a car and driver to pick you up and to show you the difference. Even if your place is not the Taj Mahal. I mean, my place in Burbank was not the Taj Mahal. It was a very beautiful, extremely comfortable, lively, wonderful, you could eat off the floor funeral home. It smelled good. It looked good. Beautiful flowers. But, you know, the original building was constructed in 1955. I mean, it wasn't, you know, any... a five-story colonnade style like Forest Lawn had or some of the other, you know, newer firms had in town. But nonetheless, it sparkled. Why not let them know that the difference is not just in price, but the difference is in people, that the difference is also attitude, that the difference is, my gosh, when you walk into my place, I think you are going to say to yourself that this reminds you of your own home.
Great. Now, here's one. You know, this is kind of getting not into strictly just price, but, you know, maybe leveraging something else. How do you know if there are really in need of financial assistance or just trying to lowball you?
Why don't you ask them? What are one or two major concerns that are on your plate right now? What? Tell me some of the things that you are dealing with right now so that I can be of help to you. You never know what you're going to hear. Mr. Kubicek, I got to be honest with you. I belong to the local church down the street, and I get your calendar every year. And, you know, Dad was not working. You know, he had a bad back. And I was working until 2 months ago, and I got laid off. Well, now you got a different circumstance because you have uncovered the fact that, you know, he's a member of the church where you supply calendars. So maybe it is something like, let's get together. I'm glad to come to your home and save you the trouble of driving here. I'm glad to send you a car and driver to bring you here. Let's talk face to face, and let me assure you that we will be able to work something out. Well, I need to know right now. Well, I can't tell you everything right now. We have to meet face to face. And because I am the community funeral director, and we happen to belong to that same church, or you have the church calendar, or whatever the case might be, let me assure you that I'm going to work with you and make things and take care of the immediate need of having your father buried or cremated or whatever. And that we're going to do it with respect and with dignity.
And
no one has ever turned away for a lack of funds. So, you know, how are you going to find out? I mean, you've got to ask. And sometimes are we taken advantage of? Absolutely. Sometimes do we lose? You bet.
But I think there, Mike, that, you know, you did a couple things. You not only were, by engaging them in a little more communication, building your rapport with them, you you conveyed some empathy for them, and you found out a little bit more information. Just from asking, you know, just asking a couple more questions, just saying that, you know, I need to ask these questions to see how I can best help you. So if they're really looking for help, and that, you know, may eventually start to kind of weed out the people who are trying to take advantage of you, and to, you know,
qualify them. How would you qualify anyone? I mean, someone comes in and selects that mahogany casket and two limousines and 3 days of viewing and everything else. Don't you qualify them? Don't you say, you know, how is this going to be paid? So we qualify, we find out during that face-to-face meeting, we are actually going through a partial qualifying exercise as well. We're making sure that these people are who they claim they are. Yeah, I'm the wife of the, I'm that person's wife. Well, how do you know? How do you know that she's the wife and not the girlfriend, or whatever the case might be, or that she's the live-in, his mistress, and he's got six kids living within a 20-mile radius who haven't been notified of his death. I mean, how do you know she's the wife? So we have our ways of qualifying people. What is your husband's date of birth? Well, gee, I don't know if it's November or October. Is it the 15th or 18th? Well, you know, wait a minute. You told me you're his wife. You know, so it's the same thing. Where are you folks coming from? You know, tell me about the family. What's going on in the family right now? Who died? Who's involved? How did they die? Where did they die? When did they die? These kinds of things. Now, can you do that with everyone? No, of course not. So, you know, how do you know if they're just trying to lowball you or they're really a family in need? I mean, if they call and say, you know what, Mr. Kubicek, we have some extenuating circumstances and we only have a very limited amount of money. Can you help us? Absolutely, I can help you. Can you please tell me more about what you just said? Well, yeah, Mike, you know, I've been out of work. Dad's been out of my, you know, daughter's got cerebral palsy. I've got, you know, my wife is currently in the hospital. She had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. I mean, you never know what you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm. And you might uncover more ways of helping them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes that magic question, tell me more about what you just said, so that I can help you as much as I possibly can. You know, it's not enough for us to be funeral directors. Sometimes we have to be credit counselors. Sometimes we have to be psychologists. Sometimes we have to be policemen. I mean, there's all kinds of roles that funeral directors play. Above all, we must be good communicators. We have to know which questions to ask.
Exactly. Now, Mike, let's and I know that this one's an issue, and sometimes you kind of wonder, you know, how come these people aren't helping us out. But what do you do when a family has been coached by a social worker or a hospice worker, and I've seen this where, you know, they're coming in and, you know, they've kind of been trained to just ask for the minimum type services and that. And you know it's not, you know, yeah. You know that they've been coached.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it, Rob, that funeral service and hospice have not had the warmest or the best of working relationships. I'm not going to say that it's our fault or that it is their fault. This underscores the importance of the funeral director being more than a director of funerals and becoming a funeral educator and becoming involved with organizations such as hospice in his or her marketing area. And we were extremely proactive in working with all of our hospitals, medical centers, nursing homes, and especially our hospice organizations, because I experienced that at the very beginning, where the hospice people were telling them exactly what to say and what to choose and so on and so forth. And I took care of the families as best I could. And then I went to the local hospice organizations to offer my expertise in funerals and my responsibilities. And I'll be very honest with you. It took me a year to 2 years to gain their trust and confidence that I wasn't merely doing this to try to sell them something or to get funerals or to have them refer people to me. And I was invited and participated on three different hospices in both their continuing education area and on their medical ethics committee. So, you know, it can be done. And that paid big, huge dividends for us. And I offered my services to them merely as an additional resource to them, so that when they had a patient who had particular needs, maybe they wanted to be buried in Chicago and they were going to die in Van Nuys, California, that hospice worker used my funeral home as her resource and could call and say, would you please explain to us how you go about sending a body from Van Nuys to Chicago, Illinois, and how much that might cost, and so on and so forth. So we became that resource person for these hospice organizations. That is something that does occur. That tells me that there is a lack of partnering and networking between the funeral home and the hospice organization in that community, and that the funeral home should not be pointing fingers at anyone other than looking in the mirror and saying, I need to get off my duff and get out there and do my job. I need to become that funeral educator. Not a funeral seller, not a director of funerals, but a funeral educator. And there is a tremendous need for hospice organizations to ally themselves with the right funeral professionals. I received a call about a month ago from our local hospice organization here in Mesquite, Nevada, and it's brand new. They're just starting up because this is a small new community, but it's growing rather quickly, and seeking my involvement. And I said, how did you come about to hear about me? Say, well, we went on the web and somebody told us about your name. We didn't realize that you lived right here in the community, and you know, we certainly could use your input. So while I've committed to help them out, I don't know in what area I'm willing to help them out, because I would rather spend my time with my colleagues, rather than just going to hospice meetings as I've done for so many years. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. But I know that for the right professional and with the right approach, in going to this hospice organization, they many times welcome the involvement of a funeral professional. And that might be a topic for a different time. You know, how does the local funeral director make himself valuable to his local hospice organizations? And, you know, this is happening now with a lot of churches. A lot of churches, our Lutheran church here in Mesquite, the Catholic Church in Los Angeles, where I was very involved, formulated a bereavement committee. And I was one of, I was the funeral representative that worked with the Archdiocese in helping them create the bereavement committee, which is now active in just about every parish in the Los Angeles Archdiocese. So these are great opportunities. And we have to learn how to network. And I'm going to be doing some writing in the future about networking, because I am finding out that a lot of funeral homes are a little lax on their networking efforts. It's much more than saying, hi, I'm here, I'm the best, and gee whiz, you have to have me on your board of directors. It goes way beyond that.
Mike, let's move to the next one. And this is more kind of, you know, when you've got one of those pain-in-the-butt competitors. What do you do when the competition will undercut you on your price at every time, no matter what your price is? So they're going to, we'll just match. You know, when the other one's playing the match game on you, what do you do?
Well, when you're the highest price, you don't have to worry about that. Am I right?
Well, that's true.
Okay. So maybe let me reverse the role, you know? Throw it back into their lap. Why don't you call him back and ask him why he's so much less? No, I'm just kidding here. We all know that dog eat dog. The ethics among colleagues in communities across America who own funeral homes is not always what we would like it to be. There's always that thorn. That has a way of getting in everyone's craw, and that he will call and match price, and the only thing that you can do is try to make yourself stand out so significantly with things that are important to that consumer. And when you find out from the consumer what is important to them, more than likely they will never go to the lowball guy. So when you can uncover those hot buttons, when you can say things like, please tell me what is of immediate concern to the family right now, other than the lowest price, because that's something else. But tell me what are you folks really dealing with? What is of primary concern? And like I said, you never know what you might hear. So you have to come from the value standpoint and the relationship standpoint and the empathy standpoint, and let them know that you really want to be their family funeral director. It's a shot. That's all you can do. You know, there are some situations in which you're going to lose. Even if you're the lowest guy in town. Because you'll have others that'll do that game on you.
And
so
instead of
being the lowest guy in town, I'm going to challenge those who are listening right now. My challenge is, and this is what I did to my staff, because I got my staff together, and I said, what are one of the attributes of our funeral home? And more than one of my staff members said, we are competitive in pricing. And when they got done talking, and I had a week to think about it, got my staff together again, and I said, more than one of you said that we are competitive. I said, I want you to know that from today forward, we are all done being competitive. We are going to be the leader. We will be the most expensive funeral home. And they all went, wow, great, sounds good. Does that mean I'm going to make more money? I said, oh, you're going to make more money than you ever dreamed was possible. They said, great, I like that. How do we start? And I say, well, how do we start? How do we start being not competitive anymore, and in fact being the most expensive? What do we have to become in order to give value for being the most expensive? And I looked at my staff and I said, for instance, look at your shoes. Your shoes look terrible. You probably haven't shined them in 2 months. You know, if we're the most expensive, none of us can have shoes like that. Look at the shirt you're wearing. Look how wrinkled it is. Well, you know what? If I'm going to pay top dollar, I've got to have top appearing people. I've got to have top smelling people. I've got to have top smart people. I have to have the finest facilities. I'm looking out in my parking lot right now. How many of you see that piece of paper in that parking lot? I said, I want to tell you something. That's a test. I put that piece of paper in the parking lot yesterday, and I was waiting to see who was going to pick it up, and not one of you have picked it up, and all of you have seen it for 2 days. So we have to change our whole attitude here. If we want to be the Ritz-Carlton, if we want to convey that we are the finest, what do we have to do? Well, boss, hey, we've got to change some of the facilities. I know, I agree, I'm already thinking about that. I realize that that's my responsibility, that I may have to go to the bank and get a $300,000 loan to make the changes that are necessary in our facilities. And then I also have to tell you that probably a year from now, not all of you will be employed here anymore. Because some of you are going to jump on the bandwagon. Some of you are going to jump on my bus and go like crazy to be the very best that you can be. And others are going to be reluctant to do that. And I have to be honest with you, probably a year from now, not all of you will be employed here. Only some of you are willing to make the sacrifice to learn new things and to study in order to be the most expensive funeral home in the area. And I guarantee you that when we make more money, you will also make more money. So, continuing on with this education, I looked at one of my staff members and I said, how much more money would you like to be making 2 years from now? Oh, I'd love to have $2,000 a year more in my paycheck. I said, $2,000? Come on. What are you talking about, $2,000 a year more? That's not going to do anything for you. I said, you can't take your family to Hawaii if I gave you a $2,000 a year raise. I said, I want you to think big. How about $10,000 more? I like that. Okay, good number, boss. Yeah, I want to earn $10,000 more. I said, great. What are you going to do to earn $10,000 more? See, it's not just me. I'm not paying you. Our families pay you. As the president, as the owner of this place, I am merely the conduit of funds. The family is the person who pays you. So we have to make ourselves so valuable to our families that more and more of them are going to choose our funeral home. We will become the funeral home of choice in our market area. And it's much more than just hoping and wishing and giving it lip service.
And, Mike, I think just as we leave this one, you know, the key is you just didn't jack up your prices. You know, those families that were paying are getting way more value.
Oh, yeah.
And it just clearly separates. And the key is when you're looking at how to be more competitive, mm-hmm. when you can go from having to watch what the others do and just be a little bit better, and when you actually... What you did with your team there, when you get to a point where you look inside and say, how can we just continually be better, that's actually where innovation starts. And yeah. And you'll just, you know, fly past yeah. competition. So,
you know, Rob, I told you one of the crazy things that I did, and of course my mother and brother thought I was literally nuts. But I knew the lady who worked at the Burbank Unified School District, who was one of the school psychologists. And I went to her one day and I said, you know, I want to try something, and I'm hoping you would work with me on this. I don't know where I'm going with it. But I said, you're a licensed therapist in the state of California. You've got great credentials and so on and so forth. And I said, I have a number of families that we serve who I know are in need of, would like to have the opportunity to talk with someone about their bereavement and about their experiences and have someone help them. And it's a service that I would like to provide my families, and it is a service that I'm not going to charge anyone for. In other words, you know, I'm not going to charge them $50 an hour or whatever the case might be, but you know, I'd like to hire you to come in one day a week, and maybe we could do it on a Wednesday. What time do you get out of school? Oh, I get out of school at 2:30. I said, would you be willing to spend every Wednesday? And I said, we'll do it as a test. I said, every Wednesday from maybe 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and I'll get word out to all of the families that we have served that, you know, this is now available, and I'll provide you with a private office where you can talk to people. She says, let's try it. And she says, you know, I'll charge you this fee for doing that. And I said, okay, I can handle that. Let's try it. And the first month, and we got all of our notices out, and, you know, we were sending, letters to our families and you name it, okay? And the first month, we had two people that came in. So she was sitting there in my office a lot. She was doing more talking with me and helping me figure out my insanity than anyone else. But about the third month, it clicked. And I walked in the office one day, Wednesday, at 4:30, and in my foyer were 11 people waiting to see her. That convinced me. That was proof of the pudding, that I was providing a valuable service to my client families. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So innovation,
mm-hmm.
What is important to people. We also put together what is called our family service team. I had an insurance man. I had an attorney. I had an accountant. I had a banking specialist. I had a department store specialist. I had a pet specialist, a pet store owner specialist on my team. I had an auto mechanic on our family service team, and I had a home repair person on our family service team. And when you hired Mike Kubicek to be your family funeral director, all of these other services were made available to you as well as added benefits of using our funeral home. What did it cost me to have those people? Nothing. Well, twice a year we used to get together and have a great dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have a lot of interaction and communication between us because they had to do things my way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to agree to give my families priority. That when someone said, Valley Funeral Home buried my father. Valley Funeral Home cremated my grandfather. And I'm having some trouble with the plumbing here at my home, and I don't know what to do. My dad used to do all of this, and I don't even know which end of a wrench to use. All he had to do was agree to give my client top priority. And he made the charge accordingly. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
a free service.
No.
You know. But our families welcomed that. That was one of the things that distinguished me from all the others in my community.
Mike, I think that's a good segue into the next one. When we talk about someone was quoting that someone told them that you should try to sell the sizzle and not the steak. Is there any logic to this? So maybe you could elaborate on that, please.
Sell the sizzle, not the steak. Well, the steak is kind of the funeral. What's the benefit? What is the benefit of the funeral? What's the benefit of having a farewell? What's the benefit of having a life affirmation event? What is the benefit of saying goodbye under the conditions that you can arrange and orchestrate for a bereaved family? So what are the benefits? That's what we do when you talk about the sizzle. Walking by that steak restaurant, walking by that bakery, driving by that donut shop, walking by Victoria's Secret. Have you ever noticed the wonderful aroma of perfume that comes out of the Victoria's Secret store? That's the sizzle. What's the sizzle at your funeral home? As I'm driving up to your funeral home, what am I going to see? Am I going to see brown grass or green grass? Hey, don't tell me that you live in Ohio. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm from California. Well, I'm from Nevada now. You know, I'm looking across the street at my neighbor's lawn in August when it's 116 degrees here. It's green. Why? It happens to be artificial turf. I mean, do what you have to do. When I walk through your front door, what am I smelling? What am I seeing? What am I hearing? How long do I have to stand there until someone comes up to me and greets me? And then I'm going to ask you, how are they greeting me? What are they saying? What's that person's handshake like? What's that person's shoes look like? Does that person happen to have hair growing out of his ears? Does that lady happen to be a size 10 and she's wearing a size 6 dress? You know what I'm saying? I mean, does a guy, are his pants too short? Does he have a body odor about him? What am I smelling in your funeral home? Am I getting hints of formaldehyde? I mean, really, truly, what's going on? What's your parking lot look like? What does your front door look like? Are there fingerprints all over the glass tables? Are there empty coffee cups sitting around on end tables?
You know,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, when I look at that, I think it kind of goes back, Mike, to the when you can apply it, you can almost apply that statement to your marketing, to your firm, to everything. And you know, the steak is the feature, the sizzle is the benefit. And you know, when
do it that way, yes, you can.
And I think, you know, in our conversations that we've had, with the group over the last few days or so, I think we're really trying to drive that home. And,
yeah.
And it can be...
Just our homework assignment. There's the sizzle. Please tell me 3 reasons that I should do business with you. There's the sizzle.
Mm-hmm.
The steak is whatever the heck that customer is going to want. That customer may want a 32-ounce solid copper steak. They may want a unfinished pine steak. They may want a 2-day visitation steak. They may want a 1-week refrigeration, no embalming steak. You don't know what their steak is, but give them the sizzle. Say, folks, let me give you the... Let me share with you 3 reasons that you should only have our funeral home serve your family. Man, when you have got those 3 reasons down and you can communicate them with the right words, the powerful words, that is going to mean more to you than going back to Harvard Business College and spending 2 years there getting a master's degree.
Yeah, those words that you've taught us, Mike. And what this means to you is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Mike.
We happen to own our own crematory. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but if you follow it up and say, we happen to own our own crematory, and let me tell you what this means to you, and you've got 5 or 6 really valuable, concrete, specific, measurable things that push the hot buttons of most cremation consumers, they're not going to go anywhere else.
No. Okay, Mike, let's kind of wrap this up. The last couple that I have are just more, I try to gather a few of them together, and you know, one of them was that there's some concerns that
I hope they're easy. Are these easy questions?
let's see here.
Our colleagues have sent in some tough questions. These are you know what, Rob, I have to I'm impressed with our audience. These are terrific questions.
Yeah, no, they're and they're making us work and giving practical advice that, you know, that's what we want to do, is to provide things that you can use today or tomorrow, and
sure.
And you know, and if at all possible, let us know.
Yeah, yeah. When you contact Rob and Mike, what this means to you are the following. You're getting information here that is completely, totally, unabashedly unavailable from any other source. Where are you going to get this information from? Nowhere else. You won't get it at Harvard. You won't get it at any association. No one has tackled this topic as you and I have tackled this topic. And no one has the answers that we have, and we come from 40 plus years of experience, and now we could actually say a combined almost 70 years experience.
And I think too, in the delivery, we're trying to, as we talked about earlier, allow not just the owner going to the conference and sitting in on
right.
the presentation and taking notes. We want everyone to use this as staff training and to listen to it over and over again and to try it. And we're giving you a little bit of homework and just
yeah.
to, because you have to work at it. It's not, you know.
No, just
your,
as they have challenged us with some very powerful questions here, we in turn are challenging you to make the commitment to invest in your career, and you know, it's done with a very little outlay of cash on your part. It is time, it is energy, and but the resources are there for you, namely us. So how did you want to end things? You've got a couple
One of them was that, you know, and actually I got this a few times, so I don't know what's happening out there, but they're concerned of, like, you know, is this a secret shopper or a competitor phoning us all the time? And you know what, Mike, I think, I would just say, if it happens to be a secret shopper or a competitor, then try, this is the time then to practice. You're practicing the stuff that Mike's teaching you, And if you start, you're going to start scaring your competition. And if it's a secret shopper, they're going to be impressed. So
yeah, and I wouldn't even go there. I would not. To me, it made no difference.
No, we should assume that.
Yeah.
You should always assume that it's a family that needs your help.
Yeah.
And really, it doesn't matter.
I secret shopped my funeral home often. I would hope that others would not hesitate in doing so. I did not make things difficult when I did do that. I will tell you that probably last month I made at least 12 secret shopper calls to funeral homes across the country. I do that so that I could stay sharp, so that I could see what's going on, so that when I can say, hey, here's what I'm hearing on telephones, here's the biggest mistakes that I'm finding funeral homes are making when they're dealing with a price shopper, I'm not speaking out of school. I mean, I've experienced it. So I would urge the listeners to not be afraid to secret shop their own funeral home, and to do so in a legitimate way and not make things impossible for anyone. And when I did a secret shopper, I usually had a private conversation with that person who was answering the telephones at that time. And rarely did I ever call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't that crazy because I like my sleep too.
Mm-hmm. And you know, just the last one that is just more of an observation that there were actually three people, three concerns that they. You know, they were the lower price funeral home and they weren't getting the call. And you know what that tells me is that not everyone is concerned on price, and that there are funeral homes out there that are able to differentiate themselves and able to steer families away from the, you know, going to the lower priced funeral home. So I think that in itself is just proof. I think coming back to your, you know, the number one mistake is when they ask price, you know, we assume that it's a price-only call, but they don't know what they don't know, and they don't know what else to ask.
You know, we hear this, and I need to say it, and it's certainly not original. But it's all about value. It's all about relationship. It's not always all about price. And I urge everyone to learn how to give value first. Don't add it. Give value. Don't add it. Make friends whenever you can before you start. And act professionally. Talk friendly. Try to make friends for life. Try to make a family forever. And remember that value is something done for the customer, in favor of the customer, that they're not special promotions that are being done or whatever. And the word value has a difficult time being defined and understood. And by executives and by salespeople and even by funeral directors. And most people think that value is all about adding something, and it isn't. You know, it's not about giving something away free, okay? And that's it. Deliver value first. Make it your mantra.
And Mike, I think that's just a great way to end this little wrap up. We've got some more homework. We're sifting through some more questions, more frustrations, and also you know, there was also a number of questions that were talking or asking about specific training that you know, it would take a whole hour to address those. So we'll have to save those for another time, but. Mike, I appreciate you sharing your time, and I know that this is going to be beneficial to the listeners. And how great is this? They can invest an hour and a half of their time, and you know, maybe even if they listen to it another, you know, over again, so 3 hours, and just to apply a couple of these principles that you've suggested. You know, it pays for itself by winning over one or two calls. And that, you know, then becomes a skill, and they can win them over time and time again.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts, Mike?
Well, I just wanted to say that customers or people, really, most people buy to feel good or to solve a problem, and that customers value the solution to a problem in kind of two ways, either as the avoidance of loss or as the potential for gain. So, you know, keep that in mind, that people don't buy products, they buy benefits. That is what they get from the product. You know, people don't buy saws, they buy cuts. People don't buy chlorine for their pool, they buy a clean pool. So keep that in mind. You know, that's the sizzle. That's the steak difference, okay? The saw versus the cuts and the chlorine versus having a clean pool. And know your product well, and your product is helping people say goodbye. Notice I didn't say your product is the funeral. And I know that some of you are going to disagree with me on that, and that's quite all right. But I'm finding that today in 2008, it's a lot different from when I started in funeral service back in the very early 1960s when everyone wanted a funeral. And today, not everyone wants a funeral. I don't think that McDonald's identifies their product any longer as being just a hamburger. They're much more today. Their product is significantly different, and I think what they're trying to do is offer a healthy meal to people, a healthy alternative, if we want to use those words. And I believe that we need to become much more than funeral experts, and we have to become the goodbye experts.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Mike. On behalf of Mike Kubasek, this is Robin Heppel from PriceShopperSecrets.com.